Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Hey there, Enjoyers. Hope you're doing really well today. Well, here we are. We are in for part three of our Owning the Pit series, and I really hope that you get a whole lot out of it today. I honestly believe, you're going to see, I'm going to get a little bit excited because I believe this word today is going to be the word that's going to now propel you into all that God has got for you. We want to own the principles that are going to promote us from the pit to the palace. There's no doubt about that. But in this space where we find ourselves at the moment, as we own those principles, I believe this word is going to propel us. It's going to give us energy, life, and it's going to really focus us on what is important to God in the moment, in the pit. If you find yourself in a pit today, I want to encourage you, get excited because the word of the Lord is coming your way. We're going to go today, we're on, in some ways, to be honest, it's a little crazy in this climate that I would even go there. But this is what I honestly believe. I believe that in this climate, you need me to go there. You want me to go there. You say, go where? I'm so glad you asked today. One of the saddest passages in the Bible, from my point of view, is the passage where the Israelites leave Egypt and they're on their way to the promised land, but something goes dramatically wrong. It goes upside down. You know, for me, this passage is so sad because the Israelites left Egypt and they were meant to arrive in the promised land approximately 8 days later. Well, you know the story. The story goes that they left Egypt. They were on their way to the promised land, but basically the whole generation died out in the wilderness and never entered into what God had for them. And the reason that they never entered into what God had for them is because they didn't follow the Lord wholeheartedly. I say wholeheartedly. Everyone say wholeheartedly. All right, I heard you, wholeheartedly. They didn't follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Amongst that generation, there was two who did possess a promised land, Joshua and Caleb. They possessed the promised land because they had a different spirit and they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. They found themselves in a wilderness. They found themselves in a pit, but they continued to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. And as a result, they possessed all that God had for them. Friends, I want to encourage you today. We don't want to be a people who die in the wilderness. We do not want to be a people who die in the pit, but we want to come through our wilderness. We want to come through our pit and into everything that God has got for us. Enjoyers, can I encourage you today? One of the greatest commitments that you can make today is to own the pit that you currently find yourself in by simply making a decision to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Because as you make a decision to follow the Lord wholeheartedly, not only are you going to come through and out of the pit, but you're going to enter into all the promises that God has got for you. Both Joshua and Caleb had a conviction. The thing I love about their conviction, the conviction that they had while they were in the wilderness was exactly the same as the conviction they had prior to the wilderness, and that was God was able. The God who promised was faithful, and he was well able to keep his word. This one thing I know about people who have godly convictions, while pits and wildernesses may slow them down along the way, typically they will possess what they are believing for, or they will die in the process. And you might be like, Shane, they will die in the process. Friends, I encourage you, if you die in the process of laying hold of stretching towards that which you are believing for, in an instant, you're going to be receiving a whole lot more than anything you've believed for. So don't go worrying about that. We are a people of faith, and we are believing we're going to come through. We're going to lay hold of that God has promised to each and every one of us. Joshua, here we go. Joshua chapter 14, verse 7. Friends, I want to encourage you again. Just continue to believe that the one who promised was faithful. The one who promised, who has made his promises in the word and personally to you, is faithful, and he will see those promises come to pass in your life. Joshua 14, reading together from verse 7. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old, and I am still as strong as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country. I don't know about you. I get excited when I hear this sort of language, this sort of passion, this sort of conviction. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then how the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. I love this passage because it really does show the conviction that Caleb had in his heart, Caleb had in his spirit. He's not just reading a passage like blah, 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 maybe, maybe not, 50-50 phone a friend. No, 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 no. That is not the spirit of this man. But he has got a conviction that's deep down within him. He believes. He absolutely believes. And I want to encourage you, if you're going to walk your walk of faith, if you're going to be a sojourner in your faith journey, you need to have a conviction like Caleb had a conviction. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. For what? For he who promised is faithful. Caleb had a faith, and it wasn't based on what he heard or what he saw or what he felt or what he experienced. No, no, no. Caleb had a conviction that was based on the unwavering, unchanging word of God. Now, at this point, I'm going to do something which I wouldn't recommend preachers do too often. We're going to skip to the left here. We're going to step to the right. We're going to step out on a limb here. You might be like, "What are you saying, Shane?" All right. So here's the thing: Joshua and Caleb. Amazing story. I love this story because we see God was faithful to these men. God was faithful. He made them a promise and he was faithful to the very end. These men, they possessed what God said they would possess. Friends, I want to encourage you today. You're going to possess what God has said you're going to possess. What is yours in God is yours in God and no one can take it away. But what we're going to do now is we're going to take a step. We're just going to flick to the right, as it were, in our Bibles today, and we're going to go a little bit further. We're going to go a little bit deeper. We're actually going to leave the story now of Caleb and Joshua. We could stay here all days and learn about the faithfulness of God and the principles that will take us from the pit to the palace, through the wilderness, into the promises of God. We could do that. There is no doubt about that. But I really feel in this moment, I want to step. I want us to flick over a few pages and land in another place where we might learn more lessons from another wilderness, from another pit experience that are really going to fuel us for what God has got for us in this season. Friends, I want to encourage you, we are coming out of the pit. We are going to come through our wilderness and into all the promises that God has got for us. Now turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 50. We're going to read together from verse 4. All right. If you're a righteous brother, if you're a righteous sister, if you're a righteous one, can I encourage you today, get ready to receive this word. It will change your life. It's gonna put the pepper on you, if you know what I'm saying. All right, here we go. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 says, the sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom so that I may know what to say to all these weary ones. Are there any weary ones out there today? If you're getting weary, here is the word of the Lord to you. All right. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. The sovereign Lord has spoken to me and I have listened. I do not rebel or turn away. I give my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. I do not hide from shame, for they mock me and spit in my face. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be dismayed. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will, and I know that I will triumph. He who gives me justice is near. Who will dare to oppose me now? Where are my enemies? Let them appear. See, the sovereign Lord is on my side. Who will declare me guilty? All my enemies will be destroyed like old clothes that have been eaten by moths. Who, Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? If you are walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. I don't know about you. I read that. I just can't help but get excited. Enjoy, as I want to say to you today. Hear this today. If you're walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and rely on your God. Rely on your God. I love and appreciate this passage of Scripture so much. And here is why. Get ready. I love and appreciate this passage of Scripture so much because this is the word of the Lord to our Lord. All right. You say what? That's right. This is the word of the Lord to our Lord. What are you saying, Shane? When Jesus stepped out of heaven and into the pit, it was to redeem humanity from the curse of sin and death. There's no doubt about that. From the consequences of sin. And there would be times when, as Jesus stepped out of eternity from the Father's presence and into the pit, where it would be dark for him. He would experience his own dark times. There would be times for him where there would be no light. And Jesus would need, in those moments, to know that the one who promised was faithful. Well, this is what I want to say to you. He didn't only know that the one who promised with faith was faithful, but this is actually what he did. He got the prophet Isaiah 700 or 800 years earlier to prophesy the word of the Lord so that when he stepped out of eternity and onto planet Earth, into the pit, as it were, he might remind himself of the faithfulness of God. He might even remind himself, he might lift up the scriptures and read them himself, remind himself daily that the one who promised was faithful. I love the fact that it was like the word of God sent the word of God, that when the word of God was with us and dwelt amongst men, he might read his own word and encourage himself. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today. We need to be a people of the word, in the word, of the word, speaking the word, declaring the word. If we are in the pit today, speak the word of God over your life. Jesus had no problem doing this at all. Friends, I want to encourage you. The reason that the Lord got Isaiah to speak and prophesy and declare the word so many years earlier was so that when he got here, he might be able to meditate upon the word. When he arrived in his pit, when he arrived in his wilderness, he might meditate upon the word and encourage himself not to shrink back, that he might not rebel against the will of God, that he might not turn away or hide his face, but he might set his face like stone in determination to do the will of God. We all know the passage. You know the passage. I know the passage. I love the other passage. We say, what passage? Where Jesus comes out of the wilderness and he goes straight to the temple. You know the passage. And he says to the attendants there, hey, can you pass me the scroll? They're like, what scroll? He says, can you pass me the scroll of Isaiah? So he gets the scroll and he begins to speak from the scroll concerning who he was and what he was there to do. It's funny, that's what I love about the prophets, and for those of you who are new to Christ, that the prophetic word is the word of the Lord to a generation. It stands forever. And so Isaiah was roaming 700 or 800 years prior to Jesus coming here, but he spoke the word of God. And when the word of God arrived, he leant into the word of God. He knew where the word was. He knew what to pull out. He knew what to draw strength from. And so when Jesus comes out of the wilderness, as he goes into the temple and he says, can I have the scroll of Isaiah? And then he begins to speak it out. He begins to declare it. Friends, I want to encourage you today. There comes a time when we not only need to know the word of God, but to declare it over our lives. We find himself in this place here. He is revealing to the world who he was. He is revealing to everybody, and he's reminding himself just who he was. Remember Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is when Jesus comes out of the wilderness. He says here, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's right, the year of the Lord's favor. How many of you know he's up there declaring the year of the Lord's favor? Things are going to get good, but how many of you know things got bad before they got really good? Sometimes that's the way it happens. Sometimes we end up in a pit. Sometimes the pits get deeper, as we found out with Joseph a few weeks ago. Sometimes you think you're at rock bottom, but then the Lord says, well, we're going to a deeper pit. We're going into a deeper part. So here we have Jesus. He comes out of the wilderness. He's already been tested in there for the last 40 days. We know that he was fasting. We know that the enemy came to tempt him and tempt him and tempt him. But how many of you know he came out strong, went in here, starts speaking the word of God over his life. He was owning his pit. Friends, I want to encourage you. This is how we own the pit in this season. We lift up the word of God. We remind ourselves, and in reminding ourselves, we declare to everybody, this is the word of the Lord. This is who I am. This is who I am in Christ. This is who I am in God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. This pit is not going to contain me. God has got a plan. God has got a purpose. God has got a future for me. Friends, I want to encourage you today. This passage in Luke here shows us that Jesus had no issue with not only knowing the word of God, but speaking the word of God over his life. As someone who speaks to young leaders and emerging leaders, I'm often asked in interview sessions and where we have panel sessions, I'm often asked, Shane, if you could speak or write a letter to your 18-year-old self, what would you write? I think it's a very interesting question. Whenever I hear it, I must admit, it always brings a smile to my face, because I understand that the reason they ask that question isn't necessarily for my benefit, for the benefit of the hearers, because we know that I can't speak to my 18-year-old self. I can't write to my 18-year-old self, but what they're trying to do is pick up the lessons. But here's the thing. You see, the Lord, he's not like us. The Lord is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And in his omnipresent, in his omniscient state, he was able to speak through the prophets long before he arrived, so that when he did arrive, he might remind himself of who he is in God and the plans and the purposes that God has got for his life. He was able to, as it were, put a letter out there into the future so that when he arrived on earth, he could read it and strengthen himself. Friends, I want to encourage you today, we need to be a people who are strengthening ourselves in the word of God. That way, when moments happen, because there's going to be moments in our pit experiences, in our wilderness experiences, where it's like, Lord, I'm getting weary. It's okay to get weary. I actually think this whole passage in Isaiah was written for the weary ones. I actually think the Lord was getting weary. And you're like, are you for real? You think the Lord is getting weary? I think the Lord, as he progressed in his life of ministry, I think he was getting weary as the cross was getting closer. And you might be like, how do you figure that? Well, think about it. Let's just go to the scripture. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Not my will. Father, if it's possible, why would he be praying that? Because he's getting weary. He's getting worn down here. His eyes are, it's like, he still wants to go, but he's getting weary. But here's the thing. So he put it to the Lord. Lord, if it's possible to take this cup from me, then please take it from me. But at the end of the day, I'm prepared to do whatever you want. The first part of this verse is very, very clear here. It is the request of a man who isn't enjoying his pit or what he's about to experience and endure in the very near future. But the second part reveals his resolve, because he's read the letter he wrote to himself through the prophet Isaiah. All right, so he's got a resolve here. Yes, he's getting weary, but he's got a resolve. And the resolve is built upon the word of God. Isaiah 50, verse 4, we read it. The sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom so that I know what to say to all these weary ones. Yes, the word is for us all. There's no doubt about that. But there was one who was weary as he was walking to the cross. There was one who was getting beat down, worn down. No doubt about that. That's why he put the word out there, so that when he got there, he might remind himself of Isaiah 50 from verse 7. Listen to what it says here. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be dismayed. All right, yes, I'm getting weary. Brothers and sisters, we understand you're in the pit, you're in your wilderness, you're getting weary. But we need to have the same resolve that Jesus has, that we read about here in Isaiah. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be dismayed. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will. And I know that I will triumph. He who gives me justice is near. Who will dare to oppose me now? Where are my enemies? Let them appear. See, the sovereign Lord is on my side. Who will declare me guilty? All my enemies will be destroyed like old clothes that have been eaten by moths. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? If you are walking in darkness without a ray of light, can I encourage you, friends, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. I got a feeling Jesus was in that garden and he's out there praying at the Mount of Olives, and it's like he's praying, and he's like speaking to himself, Jesus. He's praying to himself, and it's like, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. Trust in the Lord and rely on your God. So Jesus, being fully persuaded and convicted that God was able to do what he promised, he follows the Lord wholeheartedly. See, Jesus had to make the same decisions that we do. He was, yes, he was fully God, but he was also fully man. And in moments of testing and trial, he had to make choices like you and I are having to make choices. But being fully persuaded and convicted that God was able to do what he promises and what he had promised, the Lord follows the Lord wholeheartedly. That's right. Jesus follows the Lord wholeheartedly and goes from the garden to the cross, from the cross to the grave, and from the grave to an even deeper pit. You say a deeper pit. That's right. Where was the first pit? The first pit was just doing life here on earth. Now you say, that you call this a pit? Well, compared to heaven, he came to a pit. There's no doubt about that. You know, earth is under the consequences of sin. So he stepped out of heaven from where he was seated at the right hand of the Father. He comes to earth. He's now here. But now he's about to go to an even deeper pit. He goes down into the depths of the pit, and he takes back the keys of sin and death. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Listen to this. I am the living one. This Jesus. All right, now he's been to the cross. And it's like, they may have taken the lamb to the slaughter, but look out, because the warrior is coming your way. You know what I'm saying? He says, I am the living one who died. Look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. I hold the keys of death and the grave. And then he rises from the very deepest of pits. And as he comes forth, he doesn't just come holding the keys of death and the grave. But no. As he comes forth, he leads forth those who have been in captivity in his train. He comes out in a triumphal procession, and he's leading forth all those that have been held in captivity. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 8 says, this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended into the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. I don't know about you. I read this. It just fuels me. It puts air in my tires, puts petrol in my tank. It puts faith in my heart and my spirit. And I understand that Jesus, he has gone before us. Jesus, he could not be contained. The word of God that upheld him is the word of God that will uphold you. And I promise you, my brothers and sisters, just like Joshua and Caleb, they found themselves in a wilderness. They went into a wilderness with a promise, but then they were in the wilderness. But how many of you know they followed the Lord wholeheartedly and they came out of the wilderness? Jesus, he came from heaven to earth. He came from glory into the pit. He lived here as a man. He was faithful to God. He put his trust in the word and the one who had promised. And as a result, and I want to encourage you though, he had to encourage himself also. So encourage yourself. Put yourself in places and spaces where you might receive encouragement and you might be an encourager. And he encouraged himself, and as he lived here, a sinless life, when the time came, he then stepped into an even lower part of the pit. He took back the keys of death and the grave, and then he ascended. And when he ascended, listen to this, he led forth in his train, as it were. He led forth in a procession those who had been in captivity. Brothers and sisters, I promise you, if you put your trust in God, not only will you be promoted from the pit to the palace, but here's the thing, as you come out, you're going to take others with you, others who have been held in captivity, maybe family members, maybe work colleagues, maybe people out there who you are doing life with and you've been praying for them. And it's like, Lord, we really want to see their breakthrough. Friends, I want to encourage you, keep living a life of faith. Keep speaking the word of God over your own life. Keep laying hold of what God says about you and says about your future, because as you do, when your promotion comes, it won't just be you coming out of that place, but you're going to be taking your loved ones, you're going to be taking your family, you're going to be taking all those people that are near and dear to you that God has put on your heart, because God has got a better thing for you, a better future for you. So every enjoyer, everywhere, trust in the Lord, trust in his word, and understand, don't be wavering now. Don't be wavering. Understand that the word of God doesn't waver. The word of God doesn't change. What he has promised you, he has promised you, and it will be yours in Jesus' name. Stand firm. Stand firm on the word of God. Speak it over your life. Get ready, because we're breaking out of the pit in Jesus' name. We're walking through the wilderness in Jesus' name. We're going to come out, and we're going to ascend into the places that God has spoken over our life. To God be the glory. And everybody said together, amen and amen. Now, I want to pray for two groups of people. I want to pray for people today that need to give their life to Jesus. Friends, I'm looking straight down this lens at you. And even as I said, you need to give your life to Jesus, need to give your life to Jesus. As I said that word, something in your spirit, in your heart said, yes, I need to give my life to Jesus. Friends, I want to encourage you today. The Bible makes it really clear that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages for that sin is death. But the free gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why he stepped out of heaven. That's why he stepped into the pit, that he might take upon himself the sin of the world and take back the keys of death and the grave. So now the authority is in heaven. You don't need to live a life apart from God, but you can live a life in the promises of God. You can live a life in relationship with God. And this is what God wants so much for you. Friends, I want to encourage you, if you're out there today and you know that you're away from God, but you want to give your life to Christ today, on our online platform today, there's a little right hand on the right bottom right-hand side of your screen. There's a little hand down here on the right-hand side that says, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to encourage you, hit that hand now. I want to give my life to Jesus. Just hit it. Just hit it really hard. Just hit that screen. Give your life to Jesus right now. Maybe you're on our Facebook, one of our Facebook platforms, on our online communities in Facebook world. Can I encourage you, if you want to give your life to Jesus today, just write in the comments right now, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. Someone is watching, they'll connect with you, and they will start a journey with you. So friends, I want to encourage you today, if you're on the online platform and you want to give your life to Jesus, hit that little raised hand right now. I want to give my life to Jesus. Also, if you're on Facebook, just write in there, I want to give my life to Jesus. And this is what's going to happen. As you do that, someone from our team, you're going to get a connection. You're going to get someone reach out to you by the name of Pastor Tammy Newcastle. All right. She's going to help you in this decision that you've made, because you're making a decision, but then you want to be resourced and you want to be given things to help you in your walk with God. We're going to help you to into a new Christians class if that's what you desire to be a part of. We want to help you to get water baptized if that's what you want to be, if that's what you want to do. Jesus wanted to be water baptized. He made a decision. We want to encourage you to live all the life that God has got for you. So hit that raised hand now if you want to give your life to Jesus. For the first time, second time, makes no difference at all. Write in that comment section, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to get my life with Christ sorted out. Write it however you want, and we're going to be there to connect with you. Tell me, we'll reach out to you, and we're going to start a great journey. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray right now. for everybody who is making this decision. Are you ready to pray together? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you today for bringing me to this place that I might give my life to you. Today, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my all. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sin and help me, Lord, to live a life that is both pleasing and honoring of you. So today, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my all. I believe from this day on that you are my God, my Lord, my Savior, my friend. And from this day on, I'm your child and I'll never be alone again in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said together, amen and amen and amen. All right, now really quickly, I want to pray for another group of people. I think I probably want to pray for every enjoyer. Maybe I want to pray for every believer that's watching in today. We need more than ever in this season. We need to be in the Word. We need to claim the Word. We need to take it for ourselves. We need to be believing in the Word. We need to understand that he who promised is faithful. The one who promised is faithful. You know, from the very beginning, I think the very first scripture that I read in the beginning of this series, and I might be wrong, is, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. So we find ourselves in a pit, we find ourselves in a wilderness experience, but we need to go back to the Word of God and remember that he who promised is faithful. We need to eat the Word of God, consume the Word of God, partake of the Word of God, and then begin to speak it over our lives, speak it over our future, speak it over our existence. This is why I'm here. That's what Jesus was doing as he entered the temple. He's like, he's reminding himself, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, ding, 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 ding. But he wasn't just saying that to himself. He was like, hey, for everybody that's watching today, for everyone that's looking in today, just so you know, I know, and you need to know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Friends, I want to encourage you today, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you. That's right. He has anointed you for good, he's anointed you for purpose, and he's anointed you for kingdom purpose. The promises that he has made to you, they haven't fallen to the ground. Yes, we've entered a wilderness, or maybe we've entered a pit, but I promise you this, if we will hold to the Word of God in the pit and through our wilderness, we will come out the other side. Promotion will come our way. We'll go from the pit to the palace, and we're going to take a whole lot of people with us. I don't know about you. I can get excited about that. So if you're like, Shane, I need this Word today. I am ready to receive this Word. I'm going to lean into the Word. I'm going to take hold of the Word. I'm going to begin to speak it over my life and over my loved ones like never before. Just raise your hands wherever you're seated today, wherever you're watching in from today. Just raise your hands towards heaven. Father, I pray for every brother, every sister in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that we would have an ongoing, growing, deepening revelation, widening revelation, enlarging revelation of who you are and what your word is to us in this season. Lord, I understand, Lord, a pit will slow us down. A wilderness will slow us down. But Lord, your desire and your will and your want is to bring us through. So Lord, we surrender ourselves again to the Word of God. We receive the Word of God. We partake of it, and we're going to begin to speak it over our lives, over our families, and over our future. Lord, we might be in a pit, but this pit will not contain us. We may be in a wilderness, but it will not contain us. For Lord, your promise is greater than any pit. Your promise is greater than any wilderness. Lord, you will lead us through. You will lead us through. And Lord, as we come through, Lord God, Lord, we rest in the assurance, Lord, that we're going to bring our families with us. We're going to bring those that are in captivity, Lord, that have got their own battles and own struggles, Lord, those that don't even know you yet. We're going to bring them through with us into the fullness of the life that you've got for each of us in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen and amen. God bless you, church. I hope you've had a great day, and I really do hope that word has spoken to you. I would encourage you to listen to it over and over this week. I got a feeling this is one of those words that's just going to keep speaking and speaking and speaking to us. God wants to speak to you. Open your ears, open your hearts, get ready for what God's got, because we ain't staying in this pit for too much longer. Get ready for Kidmania. God bless, and we'll see you soon.